direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, very thankful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, and this week we're going to take up our study in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus deals with the signs of the times and the end of the age. If you have at all been tuned into the news as of late, we really are living in a world that seems to be falling into complete chaos and ruin. Who listening today has not been affected by the pictures and videos of the utter destruction Japan has faced by one earthquake? Within just a few hours, tsunamis came raging through those cities at speeds of up to 500 miles an hour while the world watched on in horror and could do absolutely nothing to stop it. As of now, the death toll is in the thousands. Add to that the devastation of the radiation leakage and the nuclear meltdown that Japan is facing. Nuclear meltdown? When have we heard about that? The possibilities of what could happen are devastating. After mouth-dropping footage of people's homes destroyed, life taken, I then see a scene of bombs firing as Gaddafi and the warfare takes place over in Libya as things are going on and attacks on his own people. This is not all. We're on the brink of worldwide famines, economies are failing, the future has never been more uncertain. Sickness is out of control. Noticed it? Nations and economic upheaval characterizes the world. And dare I begin to chronologically stack up all the other recent disasters such as Haiti and Katrina and much more? Every year for the last 10 years, a powerful earthquake has struck, killing thousands. And what of the increase of wickedness and lawlessness, especially in the United States? As our news has been obsessed with the past month over the perversities of Charlie Sheen and other actors. Then we turn to the Christian world, and we have people saying, in just a month, month and a half, it all ends. Judgment Day comes. Everyone seems to be gripped by fear right now. There's millennial madness, predictions of the end of the world, May 21, 2011. Who knows what comes tomorrow? Are we ready for it? Nothing seems to be certain. I guess I pause and say, is all of this enough to wake us up? Anyone still want to sleep through their Christianity? Anyone still want to deny the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth? The days of eating and drinking and being merry are about to be over. You think the Lord is saying something? If you're stirred up by what I've just said, you should know that years ago, the disciples faced the same kind of fears that many people are facing today. And the Lord Jesus answered their fears, and he gave them not only a way forward, but he calmed their hearts, assuring them that he is indeed in control, and that all these things happen, that all these things happening as they increase in intensity are not to be looked at as if God has let the world spin into chaos. Jesus assures his disciples here in Matthew chapter 24 and us today that he is the author of the future and that the Christian is not to live in fear but to be ready because all these things indicate that the end is at hand. It is really near at the door. So this week on Abounding Grace, I thought it would be immensely helpful to consider how the Lord instructed his people in the past to move forward through these very hard times of life, when everything seems to be falling apart, and for us to realize that we're not alone. God's people in history have always faced these things. God has always brought his people through these things, but the Lord wants us ready, and his teaching is given with that goal in mind. So the purpose is really twofold this week. It's to comfort the discouraged sheep that none of what we're seeing happening in the world, and in, it seems to be so chaotic, is happening apart from Christ's plan, and to wake up those who for too long have just been sleeping through their Christianity, and to warn those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's study these things today with this in mind. In verse 1 of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was walking away from the temple. He is in the outside courts, and he had just cried out in the temple, wailing over Jerusalem's unbelief. In the midst of that cry, he said something that really scared the disciples. Jesus had just pronounced 7 woes in chapter 23 of Matthew on the scribes and the Pharisees and on Jerusalem. And in verse 38 of that chapter, Jesus said, "See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The disciples are really bothered. We read that after this occurred, they came to Jesus to show him the buildings of the temple. "Lord, are you speaking about these?" That's the sense we're getting here. "When you said our house will be left desolate, did you mean the temple?" The temple was everything to Israel. It was the center of their religion. It was the symbol of God's presence among them. Jesus replies to this in verse 2. He says, "Do you not see all these things? Take another look. Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Jesus is assuring them that Jerusalem and its temple would be destroyed. We then read that Jesus goes out and he sits on the Mount of Olives. This overlooked the beautiful Kidron Valley, a fascinating view of all that had been built by the Jews, all of their great accomplishments. The city of the great King David, the pride of the Jews was Jerusalem, city of the king, Mount Zion, the great temple and all of its extravagance, better now repaired than what Solomon had built. We can imagine the astonishment in the mind of the disciples. The stones. Jesus said not one stone will be left here upon another. The stones of that temple were 35 feet each. Massive, beautiful white stones, Josephus records. The temple just dominated the whole landscape of Jerusalem. You know, if we had the ability to go sit on a giant mountain that overlooked New York right before 2001, what would have dominated the landscape? It would have been those World Trade Center towers. We can only imagine how Americans would have felt if it had been honestly and believably predicted that they would fall on September 11. "See those? They're coming down." That would have been devastating. When it happened, it was devastating. The disciples have faced that kind of moment. They come up to Christ, and with this horrid thought on their minds, they ask, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." We want to know when, how we will know. The disciples really were asking two different questions when they ask, "When will these things be?" It's a clear allusion to the destruction of Jerusalem. When will these stones fall? They had heard Jesus say, "Not one stone will be left here upon another." The second question, however, had to do with his second coming. They ask, "What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" We want to know, Lord. What do you hear in that? I hear fear. If Jerusalem falls, then what? What does that mean for us? What do we do? It's these kinds of questions that dominate our thinking today. You know, one of those interviewed in Japan said, "What now?" You know, we look at all the stuff happening in the U.S., the falling morally, the falling economically. What happens then? What's going to go on? How will we go on and exist if everything crumbles? What do we do? We've got people like Glenn Beck scaring everyone right now. Christ begins to answer this, and what he does is combine and mingle together elements that answer each of these questions, so that as they heard it, it would apply to what would happen in AD 70, but that event in AD 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple demolished, that event would foreshadow what would happen when Christ comes at the end of the world. You have multiple fulfillments here in Matthew chapter 24. So this is really important for us today. Christ responds in verses 4 through 14 in Matthew chapter 24 with a list of what are signs of his coming. And then he gives in verse 30 the single sign, which is him coming down on the clouds of heaven. You'll notice that he says that. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. That's the sign. But before he comes, there are a series of signs that tell us that he is coming. And in verses 4 through 14, that is what Jesus is describing. Let me read these, and then we'll pick up with them tomorrow. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed, no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." So Jesus is here describing a series of signs that will mark that he is coming. No one will be able to pinpoint one particular sign and say, that means the end of the world is coming. Jesus is going to describe it this week for us by saying all these things will characterize the period between his first and second coming. But just like a woman, he says here, just like a woman, the beginning of birth pains. When a woman has birth pains come upon her, they begin to intensify, don't they? And they become closer and closer together, and they intensify all until the time the baby is finally born. That is what is going to happen before Jesus comes. These things are going to intensify. They're going to get worse and worse, and then all of a sudden, there will be the sign. Jesus will come on the clouds of heaven. He will return. And for those who believe, it will be a joyful day. For those who believe, Jesus tells us here in Matthew chapter 24, he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. But those who do not believe, the Bible says it's going to be an awful day. It's going to be a day of judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ will descend on the clouds of heaven in fiery judgment and will pour out his wrath on those who don't believe. It says all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Dear listener, if you're still breathing and living today, Jesus is calling you to believe in him, trust in him, and escape the wrath to come. Knowing the terror of God, said Paul, we persuade men. Are you persuaded that this Jesus is the only way, truth, and life? Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We do give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.